Italy is so popular, and everybody seems to go to the same places, Venice, Florence, Rome, Tuscany, the Riviera, and so on. More and more important is the challenge to leave the crowds, and Emilia-Romagna might just do the trick. This is one of Italy's and Europe's wealthiest regions. Emilia-Romagna is a part of Italy that includes two of Italy's great university cities, lots of Etruscan history, some top-notch cultural and culinary pleasures. Italophile Fred Plotkin joins us now on Travel with Rick Steves to tell us why Emilia-Romagna is one of his favorite places to visit, not only in Italy, but anywhere. Fred, buongiorno. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you for asking me to talk about Emilia-Romagna. It's the region I've spent the most time in Italy. I went to college in Bologna, and when I came back to the States after living in Italy for many years, I wanted to write a book about it. This was about 1981, and I said, I want to write a book about Emilia-Romagna, and the editor said, is that your girlfriend? They did not even know that it was an Italian region. Things have changed radically in that, thanks to you, thanks to food writers, thanks to me, people know that Italy has 20 regions.
Yeah.
This region is one of excellence in every single thing it touches, whether it's cinema, whether it's opera. Verdi was from there. Fellini was from there. Giorgio Armani is from there. It's of that level of quality, and most people will say to you that the best food in Italy is in their hometown plus Bologna.
Hmm.
It's fabulous.
I just love talking with you because, I love your book. You wrote Italy for the Gourmet Traveler. And much as I am passionate about learning about a culture through the history and the art, you are the man for learning about a culture through its cuisine. And of course, that's a big part of I would imagine, your attraction to Emilia-Romagna. We'll talk about food in a moment. First of all, you call yourself a pleasure activist. What does that mean? And then does that have something to do with why you appreciate Emilia-Romagna so much?
They're definitely connected, and if I did not realize that in myself before, it certainly happened in Bologna when I was 20. Pleasure activism, to me, is about the fact that we've been given this fantastic gift of our five senses, and most people barely use them.
Hmm.
We taste, we eat, but we don't savor. We hear, but we don't listen. We see, but we don't absorb. We touch, but we don't feel. My lightning bolt realization was, let's take advantage of these gifts. And in Bologna, in Emilia-Romagna in general, all the senses are activated. Activism for me comes from activation of the senses. And pleasure is a good thing. Hedonism we can talk about, but pleasure is a good thing and is one of God's gifts that we want to take advantage of. And Bologna and Emilia-Romagna seem designed for that.
Okay, so let's talk about this region now. Emilia-Romagna. We know Venice. We know Tuscany and Florence. This is the area in between, right?
It is. And in fact, the rail line goes Florence, Bologna, Venice. But in the other direction, near Milan, is the Via Emilia, which is a Roman road that went from basically the Po River all the way down to the Adriatic Sea, linking important cities such as Piacenza, Parma, Reggio Emilia, Modena, Bologna, and then out to the sea.
Hmm.
Rimini is on the sea. There are great towns, especially Ferrara, which I love, which is not on the Via Emilia. And throughout the region are small duchies. A town that I love, you may have been there, called Castel Arquato in the province of Piacenza.
Hmm.
You have these gems everywhere, these little towns that are rich in culture, rich in agriculture and food tradition. And the level of cooking in this region, to me, is unparalleled anywhere on earth, not Japan, not France. No gathering of places that I can name has better quality cooking day in and day out than Emilia-Romagna.
So you're talking about cooking. Is that different than the quality of the ingredients or the tradition of the cuisine? Or do you mean all of that?
Well, the quality of the ingredients is essential. Julia Child said that great cooking is 85% shopping.
Huh.
And to me, the greatest food markets I know anywhere in the world are in Bologna. It's not fancy.
Mm-hmm.
But for example, if I were to go to a market and say, I would like that tomato, in Bologna, they would not say, how many do you want? They would say, what are you using it for? And I would say, to make sauce. And they would say, no, you want this for salad. You want that tomato.
Hmm.
for sauce. You want that tomato to put up to age for the winter, whatever. Every single ingredient that they could point to. I didn't know that fennel could be male or female and how the flavor is different. How to select a fish, how to cut a fish, how cheese should be served. They are so passionate about every ingredient that they automatically assume you are too, and they want you to know everything they know. So my education really in cooking and knowledge of ingredients happened in Bologna.
Now, Fred, does that present you a little frustration when you want to enjoy something that's bolognese or parmigiano or something, and you're not in Emilia-Romagna, and you can't get the same quality of the ingredients that makes the magic?
Handmade pasta in Emilia-Romagna is one of the great gifts to our culture. And knowing how to do that is like learning to make strudel in Vienna. Once learned, you can never accept anything less. So therefore, Bologna and Emilia-Romagna for me turned me into a home cook.
Hmm.
And I won't eat out Italian food terribly often. I eat out foods that I don't prepare. I don't know how to make Indian or Japanese food. So that I will dine out with, but I would rather cook Italian at home. And the great thing in Italy, all over, but certainly in Bologna and Emilia-Romagna, you take cooking classes. You learn how to make sfoglia. They're incredibly proud. And frankly, they want to maintain the tradition. And if Italian young men and women won't learn it, but if people from Asia, North and South America and elsewhere in Europe are willing to learn it, better. That way we maintain the tradition. This is culture.
Maintaining the tradition. You know, in Italy, in small towns, I've seen there's that passion for this. I'll never forget going to I was in a little town and there was a festival where the older kids were teaching the younger kids how to make a good ravioli. And it was designed to pass the passion and the expertise and the flair down to the next generation. So it stayed strong.
That might have been Recco in Liguria, where it was destroyed in World War II. And the only legacy they had was their food. And every child in Recco, where ravioli is from, are taught to make it so that they will teach the next generation.
There you go. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're talking with Fred Plotkin, and Fred's written this marvelous book for anybody that wants to appreciate Italian culture through the cuisine. It's called Italy for the Gourmet Traveler. Our phone number is 877-333-7425. Kate's on the phone from Austin in Texas. Kate, thanks for your call.
Hi, thanks for letting me call in. I'm a big fan of both of you. I lived for a year in Bologna, and it completely altered my relationship with food. I felt like everything shifted in my eyes with food when I first got there. Just the way you eat food, the way you prepare food, the way that you will sit around the table, and it's an event. I was lucky enough also to live with two Italians. One was local, and I asked her sister for her recipe for ragu, and she looked at me and she said, "We don't do recipes. What's the recipe?" And she just sort of described her process, and that's still the same quote-unquote recipe I use today for my ragu, which takes several hours and is worth every minute of those hours. But I also wanted to say that I feel like a lot of people don't appreciate Bologna as a spot on the tourist trail, and it's really a city of hidden beauty.
From a sightseeing point of view. In other words, things to see rather than to eat.
Right.
Yeah.
One of the things I think is really remarkable, so, you know, Tuscany, Florence, and Venice, everybody knows, everybody goes, but if you walk under the Portici of Bologna, you'll see incredible, beautiful history that just sort of jumps out on you, like the Piazza Cavour, the gardens, the parks. Margherita is a really beautiful park. San Domenico is a beautiful church, which has two tiny little Michelangelo sculptures in there, and people just don't go. They just don't think about
it. And when you say Portici, by the way, those Portici, if I'm correct, that's the famous arcaded walkways that Bologna is noted for. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah, there are about 40 kilometers of them in the city, and they are a lifesaver in the horrible winters and in the horrible summers. Spring and fall are the most beautiful times to go to Bologna. So even basing yourself in Bologna, it's an hour to Florence. It's 2 hours to Venice. It's easy to get everywhere from there. The connections are very, very easy.
You know, I think Florence and Venice are getting tougher and tougher just from a masses of tourism point of view. And you're just part of the mob, whether you like it or not, in so many ways. But in Bologna, I would imagine it just feels more Italian.
It does. I feel like I was forced to learn how to live like an Italian because I was living in Bologna.
Mm-hmm.
My sister studied in Florence for a semester, and she didn't come back with a word of Italian.
Right.
Then I spent a year in Bologna. I had to learn Italian. I had to negotiate in the market, in the food market. It was a much more Italian experience. And I think getting an apartment, living there, shopping in the market, making some meals, it's really a remarkable city that I think falls off a lot of people's radars when they think, I'm going to go to Italy and I'm going to see all the spots. But it's just for the food alone. The year I lived in Italy, I had one bad meal, and that was entirely my fault.
All right. Thanks for cluing us in along with Fred about Bologna.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Our phone number is 877-333-7425, and Martina is calling in from Atlanta. Hey, Martina.
Hey, Rick. Hey, Fred. I'm a huge fan. And thanks to your book, I made a food pilgrimage to Emilia-Romagna a few years ago. I thought I knew everything there was about it. My grandmother is Piemontese, and I know about that cuisine. But after reading your book, it was a food pilgrimage. I went to Modena. I wanted to see how balsamico vinegar happens. And boy, it's nothing like what we have in the stores here in the U.S. And I also visited Bologna, and it is a beautiful city. And it is a city where I felt like I was living as a temporary local. I went to the Ugo Bassi market and just marveled at the quality of the food there.
Talk about that, Martina, because I just think these markets in that part of Italy just are, they're hard to appreciate unless you're actually there. What's an experience you remember from the market that really made it vivid?
Well, what I love about Italy in general, Italians, is their pride in their work.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a lovely conversation with a man in a cheese shop. He had on a white fedora and the white apron. And, you know, I had a little Italian. I had to learn how to speak it because my cousins in Piemonte don't speak English. Most of my Italian's gone now, but I was pretty good 4 years ago when I went there. And
mm-hmm.
they loved that I tried to communicate, and they're so polite. In other countries, when I try to speak the language, they immediately go into English. In
mm-hmm.
Italy, they listen. They start to reply in Italian until they see my eyes glaze over, and then they go into English.
That's so great. That's so fun to be in the market and connecting like that.
Yes.
Thanks, Martina, for your call.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Bye-bye now.
Bye now. The author of Italy for the Gourmet Traveler and Opera 101, Fred Plotkins, telling us about his favorite region to eat in Italy right now on Travel with Rick Steves. Fred explains how portico doorways are a signature look in the city of Bologna. That's in an extra you can hear at ricksteves.com/radio. Hey, Fred, you know, when you think of Bologna, a lot of Americans think of bologna, about the cheapest meat you can get. But it's actually not a low-end meat in Italy, is it? Tell us about the equivalent.
Well, it's from Bologna. It's called mortadella.
Mortadella.
And mortadella is a combination of pork, spices, pistachio, and little bits of the best fat you'd want to eat. It's very healthy fat. And it comes two ways, either in slices, these big round slices, or in chunks. It's really the only pork product I can think of that can be served either way. And mortadella can be chopped up and put into pasta fillings. It's a wonderful thing, but frankly, let's not forget prosciutto di Parma and the delicious salamis that come from that area. And then there's something magnificent called culatello, which comes from the butt of the pig. And it's made only in a couple of towns. One of them is called Zibello. It's on the Po River. And prosciutto is long drying for 14 months of the leg of the pork. In contrast, culatello is aged in moist environments near the Po River. and takes on a more tangy but absolutely delicious taste. It's a slightly different part of the pig. And I could take you from town to town in Emilia-Romagna, and you'll discover different pork products. They always said that pork is like the music of Verdi. Nothing goes to waste. And I do want to commend, there are so many towns I could commend, but two more, Ravenna and Ferrara. People don't visit them that much. Ravenna was the capital of the Western Byzantine Empire. It has the most magnificent mosaics in Europe, and Dante is buried there. And Ferrara, to me, is the great undiscovered town. Obviously, the food is magnificent. It was the home of the royal Este family, but also of the Borgia family, as in Lucrezia Borgia. They built incredible buildings, palaces, and so on. It has the longest live Jewish community going back to the Middle Ages of anywhere in Italy. And they've played a very important role throughout history. And unfortunately, many were killed during the Holocaust. But it was the Jews who, on a couple of occasions, paid off foreign occupiers to prevent them from destroying Ferrara. Ferrara has incredible pears. That's just, if you like pears, they're the best you'll ever taste. The palaces, the music festivals. It's a city of 130,000 people. After Bologna, it has the most important university. It's from 1391. It has a museum of the Italian resistance. It has so much. It's still a city where people go around on bicycles. And frankly, it gets very few visitors, and it's only about a half hour from Bologna.
Ferrara. That's good to know.
Yeah.
Ravenna also has a lot of, it's sort of a biking city. It just feels quiet and peaceful, and it's got those sumptuous mosaics that go back 1,500 years in Ravenna. I'll never forget. You know, the Roman portrayal of Jesus is without a beard, and the medieval portrayal is with a beard, and there's that cusp in the 6th century or so, and you see a church that has mosaics that have both the beardless and the bearded Jesus that are the earliest church art you'll see in Europe, and it's just vivid, like it was made yesterday in Ravenna. I guess that was the capital of the Byzantine, it was sort of a leading city in Byzantium, wasn't it?
It was indeed. It was the capital of the Western Byzantine Empire.
So there's a chance to get a real dose of the exquisite civilizations of the East after Rome fell by going to Ravenna. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We've been talking with Fred Plotkin, and Fred's the author of Italy for the Gourmet Traveler. And Fred, you know, we've been talking about Emilia-Romagna, the region between Florence and Tuscany and Venice, and how underrated it is and how it's got all the great stuff of Italy just sparkling. You write that something about Emilia-Romagna is about the lusty pursuit of excellence in all things. It seems like that's true.
It is. Whatever you want to experience and learn about the best of Italy, you can do all of that in just that region. I'm not a driver, but people who like sports cars, they're made in Emilia-Romagna, the Ferraris, the Alfa Romeos, the best pasta, the best cooking, the greatest musicians. It's all there.
And so am I, as soon as I can manage that. Fred Plotkin, thanks so much, and buon viaggi.
Thank you, Rick.
Italian tour guides tell us why they enjoy taking people to the island of Sicily so much. It's next on Travel with Rick Steves.